want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is The One Thing Needed. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
I had people who, they saw the pictures and stuff on Facebook, and had a couple people say, and nothing wrong with them saying this, but they said, "Oh, Pastor, bring some of that fire home with you." And I began to reflect on that, you know, and think about that. But here's the thing. There's one thing that's needed for that kind of manifestation, for people to just get up and begin to run to the altars, for people to just, you know, to stay in a service for hours and hours. Do you understand? We were in service for 4 hours every morning. For people to do that, there's something missing here. There's something missing in the United States. I can tell you that. Okay. So what is it? What's missing? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 42. It says, "But few things are needed, or indeed only one." This is Jesus talking. "Only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, in other words, there is one condition that is required, and Mary has accepted that condition. Now, understand, Martha was not doing something wrong. Somebody's got to work. Somebody's got to do the practical things. Somebody has to take care of what needs to get taken care of. And the Bible doesn't tell us that Mary never did help. It just said that she got her priorities right. Number one was hunger and thirst in her spirit for his presence. Before we do the work, we better get in his presence. Before we start trying to do all the stuff that we're supposed to do that the church does, we better make sure we're in his presence first. The first condition is really hunger and thirsting after God. Now, Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Those words, hunger and thirst, are, you know, interesting. Both of them really mean pretty much the same thing. Except we think of hunger as being more like a solid food type of thing and thirst having to do with liquid. But they both mean this. They both mean to suffer want. They both mean to be needy or to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire. And they both also mean just a strong desire or craving, whether you're talking about hunger or thirst. And so to hunger and thirst spiritually is to really to painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the spirit man is refreshed and supported and strengthened. Spiritual hunger and thirst does not come upon you suddenly or uninvited or overwhelmingly. It just doesn't happen that way. Hunger and thirst is something that you have to make the decision for. And here's how you do it. You have to create a place of emptiness that cries out to God to be filled. God will not do that for you. And can I give you a clue? You don't want God to have to do that for you. That's why the scripture tells us to humble ourselves. You don't want him to have to humble you. You got to create a place of emptiness that cries out to God to be filled. The intensity of our hunger will determine the dimension and the degree of our filling. Now, some people are just perfectly content to just be church people. Some people are perfectly content to just go through motions. But God never wanted us to be that kind of person. He wants us to be hungry. He wants us to be thirsty. And in order for that to happen, we're going to have to empty ourselves of some things. You know, many times as Christians, we will lose our spiritual appetite because we've allowed our lives to be filled with all kinds of natural, earthly, carnal things. And so hunger and thirst, really what we're talking about is spiritual desire, is the single most required characteristic of the growing, maturing, advancing Christian life. If there is no hunger and thirst, if there is no spiritual desire, you're just going to be a stagnant, dead Christian. And you're not going to see the supernatural taking place in your life. And somebody's always going to have to coax you, and you'll grudgingly do what you're asked to do. You know, you'll grudgingly lift your hands and praise and worship and shout, and you'll grudgingly come to the altar. You know, you just wanted to come, get your little fix and go home. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. I mean, she welcomed him, but then she forsook his presence for earthly concerns. See, that's the problem. She took his presence for granted. She felt that what she was doing was more important than what Jesus was actually saying. But Mary said, oh, no. I got to get over here and hear what Jesus is saying. I got to come sit at his feet. Now, again, don't take that and use that to I'm super spiritual, so I can't do any work. I can never put my hands to the plow. I just got to sit here at Jesus' feet and never do anything. That's not what we're talking about, because the Bible does plenty of talking about doing. He created man. He put him in the garden to do what? To work, to tend the garden. And so the work is not the curse. Work is something that God put us here to do. The curse was that your work's going to be miserable. The curse is when you don't want to do it and you got to do it grudgingly, you're operating under a curse. When you're not thirsting and hungering for the things of God, that's a good clue that you're operating under a curse in your life instead of the blessing. She took the presence of God for granted. Again, Mary sat at his feet and she heard his words. Martha had not accepted the one condition we're talking about today. And the church is filled with people like Martha who are busy about the Lord's business. I mean, there are churches out there. There are whole people groups out there who are out doing things. They're feeding the hungry and they're doing things. And all those things need to be done. But if it's void of the Spirit of God, then you're wasting your time because it doesn't bring life. So spiritual thirst and hunger and desire is the thermometer that determines the spiritual health of a believer or a church. When we lose our spiritual appetites for the presence and the glory of God in our midst, then we'll find ourselves in critical condition. I don't care how good the musicians are. I don't care how much a preacher can orate. I don't care how wonderful the building is or any of those things. None of those things matter if the presence of God is not there in front and foremost. So we get in critical condition because we're not hungry or thirsty. And here's the problem. If you don't eat and drink, even in the natural, we understand this. If you don't eat or drink, you're going to die. Psalm 63, 1 through 2. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. This is David speaking. He says, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. And then notice what he says in verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. You know what David's saying? He's saying, I've seen it. I've experienced your power and your glory. And God, I can't live without it. I can't allow a substitute for it. I'm in a dry and weary land. I thirst for you. I long for you. I will not be satisfied without your presence. I must have you above all things because I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and I've seen your glory. And I recognize I can't live without it. But look at what Isaiah 44:3 says. This is God speaking. He says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land. On the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. There's a condition that has to be met. That condition is we have to thirst and we have to hunger for it. Amen. You know, in 2 Kings 3, we're not going to read the whole story, but in 2 Kings 3, we find that there are three kings that are facing a dilemma. In 2 Kings 3, 9, it says, so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. Here they are going out to war, but they were unprepared. Oh, but they were God's people, but they were unprepared. And they find themselves in a situation where they are literally surrounded by hostile kings and armies around them, and they have no water. You can't live without it. And so the other kings, the other armies, well, they understand that. They just figure, well, we'll just wait. They had no water. Don't even think about marching out to war without the water. And so here they are in a pretty helpless situation, but notice what happens in 2 Kings 3, 16 and 17. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We're already dying of thirst. How many of you have ever dug a ditch? Anybody ever dug a ditch? Yeah, they didn't have a track hole out there. They're out there dying of thirst, and God says, now I want you to work your tail off. I need you to dig some ditches. Well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then he says this to him. He says, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Here's the condition. God said, this is what I need you to do. I know you're in a situation where you have no water, but I need you to build a capacity for the water. There's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do some digging. Ain't nobody can do it for you. You got to do some digging. That word ditches, by the way, in the literal translation means it's water canals. So it wasn't just a little shovel wide little ditch, the kind I like to dig. No, these were big ditches. But God, we didn't come here to dig ditches. We came here to fight. Yeah, well, you're not going to fight very well unless you dig these ditches, because I got a plan. Okay. And so he said, make this valley. Notice what he said. Full of ditches. Full of ditches. Don't just be satisfied with one little ditch. Make the valley full of ditches. They had to create a capacity for receiving. And many of us do not receive the things of God because we never create a capacity to receive the things of God, because we fill our lives with so many other things. So these three kings, at the word of the Lord, began to dig ditches. And it didn't make any sense, but they started digging. They didn't feel like it, but they started digging. It was not easy, but they started digging. They were too thirsty to dig, but they started digging anyway based on the word of the Lord. And their digging based on God's instruction was the key to, listen, not only their survival, but the victory. See, God doesn't want us to just live. He wants us to live in victory. 2 Kings 3:24. So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered the land, killing the Moabites. When it was all said and done, when they did it God's way, they not only stayed alive, but they won the victory. Now, what God did is he pulled a fast one on the enemy. And so God, out of nowhere, notice it wasn't rain. They woke up in the morning. They didn't even know where this water came from. But all of a sudden, all the ditches, all the capacity that they made available to God, he filled every bit of it. And the enemy looked at it, and the Bible says, if you were to go back and read the account, the Bible says that the enemy looked at it and looked like the ditches were filled with blood. And so they told themselves, oh, these kings got upset with each other, and they just killed each other. So let's go in and get the spoil. They were going to go get their stuff. But when they showed up, they had a big surprise waiting for them. See, God not only was saving their lives, but God was also setting them up for victory. And it all comes through his obedience, and it all comes through giving him the opportunity, building a capacity for him to pour something into. So they were digging for their lives. Listen, they weren't digging for their own entertainment. They weren't digging to build self-confidence. They were digging for their lives. And understand, the church in America better start digging. And understand this as well. We've had enough entertainment and self-esteem motivational sermons in the church. We've had enough soft-serve ice cream preaching in the church. And we better be digging for our very lives. We've had a drought of biblical whole truth. I love it many times when I put something on Facebook, especially if it's a hard-hitting thing. There's a lady out of the Lafayette area that friended me. She's a radio listener. And man, she's always, if I say something like that, it may even be borderline offensive, but she's always responding on there and saying, that's whole truth, Pastor. And she usually has the mic drop thing going on. That's whole truth, Pastor. Listen. We've had a drought of biblical whole truth. We've had a drought of conviction. Now, I know usually I'm talking about, well, you know, all them other people, them other churches and all that. But you ask yourself this question. Have you had a drought of conviction in your life lately? How about a drought of humility? The church has had a drought of humility, a drought of the fear of the Lord, a drought of tears of repentance. And we better start digging some ditches and begin to create a capacity for receiving what thus says the Lord. Again, this is not about comfort. It's not about convenience. It's not about preference. It's not about what makes me feel good. It's about the church's very survival. It's a matter of life and death. Can I tell you that all you have to do is cross the border? All you have to do is cross that Mexican border. And listen, they have it good compared to many people in the world. most people in the world. But all you have to do is cross that border to realize that most people in the American church today would never survive spiritually. We're too lazy. We're not willing to dig the ditches that need to be dug. We're not willing to do the work that God tells us to do because it's not comfortable. It might cause me a little bit of discomfort. Am I saying this to fuss at us, at you? No, absolutely not. What I'm saying is we need to dig some ditches. We need to build a capacity for the presence of Almighty God. We need to dig some ditches so that God can pour out on us what He wants to pour out on us so that people can experience the supernatural and the miraculous. You know, I look for the day when people aren't waiting for somebody to call them to the altar. I look for the day when people don't have to be hyped up in order to begin to worship God. I look for the day when people can't wait to get in the presence of Almighty God. I look for the day. In the hour we live in, there are many who are going to have to make a choice. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. God told me when all this mess started, when all the COVID showed up on the scene and all that kind of stuff, you know, first thing we want to do is rebuke anything that's uncomfortable for us. But God said, I am tearing down the idols in the church. Because not the world, the church has taken on so many idols. We put all kinds of things before the Lord, all kinds of things before His presence. So we're going to have to make a choice. So let me ask you, are you doing what you've always done because you've always done it? I use this as an example. It's just a simple, easy little example, but because we're such creatures of habit that I can look from this pulpit and I can pretty much know who's gone out of this church, who's not here in any given service because everybody always sits in the same place. Because we're creatures of habit. We really are. So are you always going to just do what you've always done because you've always done it? Are you going to hold on to the old and try to force God to agree with you? What if these kings had done that? What if they had said, well, you know, we don't feel like digging any ditches. We've never dug ditches when we went to war before. Well, then you're going to die right there in that valley. Are you going to keep dying of spiritual malnutrition? Are you going to accept the condition that God has set? And are you going to start digging for your life? I believe it's time. I don't know about all those other churches out there, but I'm telling you, Church of the Promise, where God has authorized me to speak, you better start digging. It's time to dig. It's time to build a capacity because God cannot do what He wants to do here, what He longs to do here, until we build a capacity for Him to do it. And I'm not talking about building a bigger building. I'm talking about digging in our lives. See, we've got to dig through religion because just religion. And what I mean by that, well, we like to talk about, well, those other people that are just religious. I'm talking about if you just show up here on a Sunday morning because this is just what you're supposed to do and they're going to think something bad about me if I don't show up. And you just show up just to go through the motions and doing your religious thing. Understand that is not going to sustain you. You know, there's a whole bunch of people that they're not even going to church anymore because they've gotten so used to watching the videos on TV and they can sit at home, drink their coffee in their pajamas and it takes no effort. They don't have to go deal with people, you know, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so that gets on my last nerve. I don't have to go see him. There's no iron sharpens iron. There's none of that. So the Lord told me a few weeks ago, quit it. Just stop it. Stop doing it because people are going to just sit home and they're going to watch the video. And that's something at least. That's something at least, but it's not his best. So we got to dig through that. We got to dig through anger and resentment and frustration. We've got to dig through pride and stubbornness. Now, I know there's no prideful or stubborn people in this church. We know that. But just in case that shows up, you better be willing to dig through it. Okay. We've got to dig through feelings and emotions that try to rule our lives because listen, God can't do anything with you if you're just ruled by your feelings. We've got to dig through the cares of this world. The Bible says that the cares of this world will literally choke out the seeds of life, the seeds of the word in your life. So we got to dig until we hit a fresh anointing and a fresh power and the glory of God that we've never experienced before. Some of y'all need to get out your spiritual shovels and begin to dig. We got to get the foundation right. But the church is not, listen, the church has the foundation of being faithful, showing up to the house of God, and we have the foundation of the word and so on and so forth. But we don't want to just have the word. We want to have it all. We want to have, there's the spirit and the truth. Amen. And in order to build right, you got to have these things in place. Now, one thing that I learned there, this building that I showed you the picture of, one thing that they wanted to point out to me is they don't build buildings like we do here. You know, we here, we have, you know, we might have a little chain wall and we got our slab and so on and so forth. The slab for that building is extremely deep, and there's metal, there's rods and stuff that go deep into the ground that they say we can't afford for our walls to be cracking and all that. So we make sure we build it right in the first place. Deep, deep foundations. And I thought, you know, what a spiritual picture there. Because we typically want to just, you know, do the minimal, do the least little bit we can to where it at least looks kind of good. And then we want to go from there. And then when we try to build on it, stuff starts falling apart. And so we got to have the right foundations. But John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they are life. It's not just hearing a message, it's experiencing the presence of the Spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. That was one of the things Sister Ollie said she was praying for. She said, because we're raising up these students and they're becoming good Bible students, but many of them have never experienced the power. So she said, that's one of the reasons I was so thankful that God sent you, because they got to see the power of God demonstrated. And what she was so thankful for is I didn't show up as an arrogant American thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I told them over and over again, you have the same power. You have the same power. You can do it. Go lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and heal incurable diseases. You have the same power. See, people need to know that, not just settle. But understand this, every song, every sermon, every lesson taught, every time we open our Bibles, every time we pray, every time we worship, every time we do these things, we're digging. We're digging. And sometimes the most profitable digging is that which is the most difficult. Don't give up when you don't feel like it, praising anymore. You know, one of the things we did, and man, I mean, it was just amazing. The people stood, and I've seen that. Well, even in the Mexican church, they're kind of picking up some of America's bad habits. And so I'd say, well, let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. And they'd all praise just a little bit and then sit down. Because it was the obligatory praise, you know, that you got to do when the pastor says, let's give God some praise. I said, what was that? And when the interpreter said it, they all started laughing. I said, I thought I said, let's give God some praise. So boy, they stand up and they begin to praise. And the more they begin to praise, I'm telling you that something broke out in that place. And then I couldn't make them stop. It was waves and waves. I mean, it was nobody saying, come on, let's give God some glory. Nobody's doing that. It's just waves and waves, and people are screaming and crying and rejoicing. And then it would kind of die down a little bit, and all of a sudden, come back. It was wave after wave. I'm standing on the platform, and I'm waves and waves. You know what they were doing? They dug some ditches. They pressed through the praise when it was hard, when they didn't feel like praising. Next thing you know, here comes the flow, and there was no stopping it. Ha! We're aiming for the manifestation of His presence and the working of His power. The more power and glory that we have working in our midst, the more God gets to shine. But He'll only pour out. He'll only bring into our lives or manifest into our lives that which we've made capacity for. And it only comes to those who meet the condition, His condition, spiritual hunger and thirst. There is no substitute for it. So let me ask you, are you hungry for more of God? Are you thirsty for a fresh anointing of His power in your life? If you've lost that hunger and thirst, just admit it. It's where it starts. There have been times in my life, even pastoring, where I had to come to that place and come before the Lord and say, God, I just feel something's wrong. I've lost the hunger and the thirst for you. I feel like I'm just going through motions. Something's wrong. See, you got to get to that place. You got to admit it first. Just like anything else, you got to come to the place of being truthful and then tell Him you're sorry for allowing things to come into your life to choke out your desire for Him. And then just ask Him to stir it up again, because He's more willing than you are. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. Hallelujah. And start digging those ditches. You say, well, yeah, I went to church. That should be good enough. No, no, it's not. That's part of it. You at least got your shovel out. But start doing something with it. Start digging those ditches. And then here's the good news. You can stand. When you dig the ditches, prepare for them ditches to get filled. Prepare for them to get filled.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.